I have always believed in miracles.
And that is why you will never hear me mention his name.
Deliver Brexit. Unite the country.
We will make America great again.
Views on News with Mark Latham.
Good afternoon, Mark Latham. How are you today, mate?
Pretty good, thanks, Brent. Good to be with you.
Is it warm out west?
No, I wouldn't say that. It was weird. Right up until about an hour ago, the fog or the mist hung around forever. But it's just starting to clear now. Yeah, very strange day, but I wouldn't say warm.
What are we? We're about 27, 28 degrees here, but I heard there are forecasts for thunderstorms to come through later this afternoon with hail and all that sort of stuff, just what we don't need.
Yeah, it's possible, but yeah, pretty strange start to the weather here.
Let's talk the federal budget, all right? Now, look, most people that I've spoken to in the last 24 hours, Mark, have said there's really nothing in the budget for me.
Well, where's all the money gone? There's a hell of a lot of spending. They're racking up $1.1 trillion. I mean, it's an unbelievable number in debt over the forward estimates the next 4 years. So they've spent a huge amount of money, unprecedented, really, in the lifetime of any of us.
Yeah.
And my main concern is that in terms of the fairness of that, they're really calling upon our children and our grandchildren, even our great-grandchildren, to pay all that back.
Mm-hmm.
I just think this generation, under the leadership of the federal government, needed to take more responsibility for making provision for its own financial needs. Now, you know, I've got kids there, the youngest is 13, but no, nobody asked her or even told her that she was going to be saddled with the repayment of this debt, people of her age. And when you say this to kids, that, you know, look at this volume of money and your generation has to pay it back, they don't really understand it, and when they do, they're horrified by the thought. So I just think there was a better way of doing this. I said at the beginning that in a national emergency, people could draw down on their superannuation to get themselves over the difficult period, and then we could take the levy back up to a higher amount, 12 or 15% in the good times, to make sure people have still got retirement income. So it's hard to believe, you know, that people quite rightly are saying there's nothing in it for them when so much has been spent. I suppose the bulk of it has gone on the JobKeeper program, which, again, I don't think it was very well targeted. Some people needed it. Others were getting twice the money for doing none of the work, and some didn't even turn up to work. They said, I've got the JobKeeper, why do I need to go any work for the employer? So I don't think in the rush to handle all this, Morrison and Frydenberg handled it very well, and I think history will be pretty harsh on the economic management in 2020.
Mark, what's your take on the merits of the tax cuts and the youth wage subsidies that were handed down on Tuesday night?
Well, you've got to create the jobs first before you can put young people in the jobs. So they've got subsidies and training expenditure for jobs that don't necessarily exist. And inevitably, there'll be a temptation for employers to sack older workers and think, oh, well, I get them cheaper, government subsidised, if they're younger.
Mm.
So that's obviously going to be a factor. The training programs, you know, shouldn't we create the jobs first? So, you know, all of that, again, hasn't been thought through very well. I just think we needed to have some degree of economic restraint. It's hard to believe that, you know, we elected this coalition government in 2013 and they promised, they swore on a stack of Bibles that they'd get the budget back into surplus. We're never going to see that again. Maybe in our lifetime we'll never see it again. And it just leaves Australia so vulnerable. You know, the whole assumption has been the only thing that can ever happen to the world is this flu pandemic out of China. Well, what if there's a financial downturn or some big trade dispute or some other massive international problem a couple of years from now? Australia's stripped bare. We haven't got any money left in the bank to prop up the economy. So, you know, it's a high-wire act, and I just think they needed to be a bit more prudent.
What's your take on what the Treasurers are saying now? Now, when I say the Treasurers, I mean, of course, the Federal Treasurer, but I see, you know, New South Wales Treasurer Dominic Perrottet, he's saying the same thing, you know, go out there and spend for the economy. So with these tax cuts, they want you to take the money that you're getting back and they want you to go and spend it.
Well, some people will, but I tell you what, there's another trend out there. If you speak to people in the real estate sector here in southwest Sydney, they say they've never been as busy as they have in the last 7 or 8 years. And I think what you've got here is, with record low interest rates, some people who did pretty well out of the 30-year period of economic growth, the long boom that we had, those who did well out of it are thinking now, well, it's a time to invest, not to spend, but to invest in real estate. So you might end up with a very lopsided economy. A lot of businesses have been closed down. When the government subsidies end, they'll go broke. These zombie enterprises will walk out onto the street, and you'll find a record number of bankruptcies. But at the same time, the property market's probably overheating. And we're going to get the thing that was, you know, always regarded as a curse, a property bubble. So it's a wild old time in the economy, Brent, I can tell you. There's a lot of things that are out of balance, out of kilt, unprecedented. And I don't think anyone in Canberra really knows what's going on. So, you know, they can say spend the money. But people always will follow self-interest. That's what rules the economy. People will do what's right for them. And so they should.
Do you think women were left behind in the budget?
Well, I don't see any evidence of this. So it's almost like the left feminists have got a standard template in their computer. They press the button to complain that every single thing disadvantages women. The truth is, the most secure job by far is in the public service, the federal and state public service, which are 65% female employment. So the one big sector, New South Wales government is by far the biggest employer in our state. It's a female-dominated workplace, and they've got secure jobs. So I just don't see the evidence. You also look at other female-dominated industries like GP, doctors, vets, office managers, lawyers. They're all got pretty secure employment at the current time. And I just don't see why Albanese and the Labor Party go on this venture of dividing the workforce on the basis of men versus women. I just don't get that. I don't see how it's good economic policy and pitting men versus women. Shouldn't we just be all Australians and we help people on the basis of their need and their willingness to work hard, whether they're male, female, black or white, straight or gay? Just support them on the basis of their needs. So this war cry they've got now about women being hard done by, a lot of men take it as anti-male rhetoric. They'll be saying, well, I'm in an industry that's doing it tough. Look at me in hospitality, a bloke running a pub or a hotel will say, look at my circumstances. How come I'm not included in your rhetoric? And I think that's a really valid point.
There was criticism of nothing in the budget for childcare. Do you think there was free childcare as part of the COVID pandemic, the package that the Prime Minister and the Treasurer put together? Do you think we should offer people free childcare in this country?
Well, if you want to send the country further broke, I mean, we're $1.1 trillion in debt that our kids and grandkids are going to have to pay off. So you can make everything free, free universities, free childcare, free public transport, free everything. The truth is, people obviously have to pay something for childcare because they're working, they've got an income. And part of the cost of earning that income, whether you're male or female, can be some childcare services. So you want to make it as affordable as possible, and a lot of that has happened over the years, but to make it free as an entitlement, just defies belief. Why shouldn't every single work-related expense be free? Your public transport, your petrol you put in your car, buying your car to get to work. The list is endless.
Yes, it is.
So I know that there's lots of tax concessions there for the cost of going to work. That's good. But to make it a government-funded free service just adds to the debt that already we can't afford to pay back.
All right, if you had to rate the budget on a score of 1 to 10, what would you give this budget?
Oh, I wouldn't give it many at all. Two or three? I just think they've spent too much. And in all that expenditure, they missed the one big reform. Some economists are saying it'll never happen now. The tax plan that if you earn between $45,000 and $200,000 a year, your marginal tax rate would be 30 cents in the dollar, which would be a real productivity boost and incentive to work. They had that slated for 2024, but because of all the debt, they mightn't actually do it now.
I saw an article today where they said that we won't have this debt paid back until about 2080. 2080?
2080, that's what I said, when we're all pushing up daisies, really. I mean, 2080, what is is that, 60 years away?
Yeah, 60 years away.
That's a horrible thing. The debt will continue rising for the next 11 years, so they haven't even got any chance of getting it under control. I just don't think Australian budget management, after all that... Remember the hammering the coalition gave to Rudd and Swan, and in some part they deserved it. Boy, oh boy, they've made Rudd and Swan look like Scrooge in the financial balancing of the books. So, yeah, these are just phenomenal numbers. I know it's been an unprecedented year, but I think we just needed a cooler-headed approach to ensure that there was some chance of getting the budget back into decent shape, not within 60 years, but within 5 or 10.
We're talking to the leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk all things koalas.